feet of Jesus.
Gave his life for you tonight. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in church? Why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in church on Saturday night. Brother, play some more of that. Sing it one more time. Jesus tonight. You love Him with all your heart. Praise the Lord. He is so worthy of whatever praise we give Him tonight. He is more than we can give Him. He's worthy of every bit of it. We'll never praise Him too much. We'll never praise Him enough. Aren't you glad you love Him tonight with all your heart? Aren't you glad He loved you first? He loved you when you wasn't even lovable. He loved me when I was just as bad as I could be. I'm so glad He loved me. I'm so glad He don't hold that to my account. But we've been washed in His blood. We're free tonight. Look at somebody and say, I'm free. How about you? Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes, Brother Wes. If you'd get ready tonight, lead us to the Lord in prayer. Sister Sherry Wiggins wants us to remember her brother, Alan Bruce. He had emergency surgery last night to remove two 10-pound tumors that had perforated his colon. He is on life support. The doctors don't know if he will make it. My main concern is for the salvation of his soul. So let's remember that prayer request tonight. Our daughter has a prayer request she'd like for this group to pray about. Just commit it all unto the Lord. Sister Ruth Ward, not feeling well tonight, unable to be in the service. We want to remember her as we pray. We want to pray for Brother Greg, Sister Shirley Robbins, both not feeling well, unable to be in the service tonight. I want to pray, Brother Keith Phillips says to pray for my daughter, Heather Phillips, sick in body, and for wisdom to make decisions that are facing her in the next little while. So we want to remember that request tonight as we pray. Brother Gary and Sister Lona, they offer this wonderful testimony. Gary and I want to give our Lord praise and glory for the miracle He has done in my life. About 5 weeks ago, I had an infection in my kidneys. I went to the doctor and he gave me antibiotics. We called a few brothers at the church and asked them to pray. I have not had to take any blood pressure medication for almost 5 weeks. I have took medication for almost 4 years. I check it 2 times a day and it is always normal. Praise be unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, He's still God. He's still on the throne. Aren't you glad about it tonight? You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Could we stand tonight as Brother West comes to lead us to the Lord? We'll just commit all these things unto the Lord. He's more than able, isn't He? Brother West, we appreciate you, buddy. I know you've been going through a trial, but God's good.
Yes, He is.
You hold on to that. Amen.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Father, we're so grateful to come together in a place, Lord, where the saints of God are put in a contrast against the background of this dark world, Lord. Seems like the little lights in that dark stream are just shining brighter and brighter all the time. Seems like Your glory is just coming down even stronger and stronger in these services, Lord, and our interactions between each other, Lord, as we grow closer to You, as we see the bride manifested more and more every day, Father. It's such a blessing. We thank You so much for another opportunity to come and hear Your word, for You to draw us up close, Lord, like little birds under Your wings, Lord. We just thank You for this time. And Father, we look forward to it in faith, knowing that You're going to speak to our hearts. Lord, we thank You that we have a place where we can come and lay these requests, Lord. Each person that put these requests has done this, Lord, and we're joining our faith together with theirs. They had enough faith to bring this to Your feet, Lord, and to lay these requests down. And as the bride, Lord, we agree in the name of Jesus Christ for each and every one of these, Lord, for the spoken, the unspoken, Lord, and we thank You for the testimony, Lord, of the healing of blood pressure. You healed me of sugar diabetes. The doctor themselves called the other day. Couldn't even believe it. Couldn't even believe it. Everything normal, Lord. You're our healer. You're our everything. You're our provider. You're our King. You're everything to us, Lord. You're our Savior. You're beyond anything that we can possibly imagine. You're everything. And we know that You're coming soon, Lord. We just ask You to help us. Draw us close. Help us shave off anything else, Lord, that's in the way. Help us, Father. Be with our brother as he comes out tonight to preach the word, Lord. We know that even in this late hour, You're still saving souls. There's still people receiving the Holy Ghost. It's not too late yet tonight, Lord God. And we just ask that You move in great mighty power tonight among us, that You make make yourself known and you make your presence available, Lord, to those who are seeking you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God bless you. Appreciate you, buddy. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening tithing offering. If you want to put those in tonight, you can, but the offering in particular. The young people, let me make this announcement. The young people, on behalf of all the young people, they want to say a big thank you for the youth banquet last night that was, here in our fellowship hall. And all the young people that was here last night, would you just raise your hand real high? Real, real high? Young people, give all these folks that made that possible a nice hand. Just the young people. Amen. And I understand it was just really, really nice. And they want to say thanks. I don't know who all was involved in that, but I know it was a lot of work put into it. So if ever what you did, God bless you tonight. We're living in a cold, cold world. We're living in an uncaring world. But I tell you what, it makes you feel like just running your last mile to the house, don't it? How many of you are looking forward to getting out of this old world? I feel like running my last mile home tonight, don't you? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Look at somebody, say, God's real. Look at somebody, say, our God is really real. Give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him.
When I come to the end of my journey, I live my lifetime for this day alone. Well, I just saw the light and I'm getting a little bit anxious. I started out walking, but I'm running my last mile home. Yes, I started out walking, but I'm running my last mile home. Ring the bell, blow the horn, shout hallelujah. Jordan, roll on back, let me through. Angel, take me to the throne. Little David, play the prettiest music. I'm a weary pilgrim running my last mile. Oh, I'm a weary pilgrim running my last mile. Oh, I've met many crossroads on my journey, but never once has my God led me wrong. The deserts and the valleys lie behind me. My road heads straight and I'm running my last mile home. Yes, I started out walking, but I'm running my last mile home. Ring the bell, blow the horn, shout hallelujah. Jordan, roll on back, let me smiling faces till I don't feel at home here anymore. I just heard the sound of four familiar voices and they're singing a new song I never heard before. Yes, they're singing a new song I never heard before.
Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, you're just singing so good tonight. I don't know what to do with you. Praise the Lord. We want to welcome some folks to this service tonight. Brother and Sister Whitehead visiting from Juliet, Georgia. I hope I got that place. Is that right, Juliet, Georgia? Is that right? Where are you folks at tonight? Just raise your hand. Where are you? Give those folks a nice hand tonight. God bless you. So glad to have you here. And we want to welcome to the service tonight Brother Jonathan Oglesby and family. They're visiting for Brother Homer Longoria's assembly. Where would you folks be? Just raise your hand right back here. Give those folks a nice hand tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to sing another little chorus. I want Sister Tamika, ever how y'all have that put together. I think your sons and Brother Jewel Forney's sons, if I'm right, they're going to be giving us a song tonight, a quartet or a trio. I'm just looking real forward to that. Give those young men a nice hand tonight as they get ready to come. Sister Lindsay, Brother Aaron, they're here. They're going to give us a song. If they'll come onto the platform and take a seat. And Sister Oglesby has us a song tonight. If you would come onto the platform and get ready to sing after Sister Lindsay, Brother Aaron sing, we'll go right on into the service. We're going to try to work three songs in tonight. I believe we can do that. But let's sing this little chorus tonight. In view of what's going on in the world right now, He's got it all in control. Do you believe it? Are you resting in it? Let's see if we can sing that tonight. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. One more time.
Nervous. I'm nervous. Believe it or not, I am. This song is called Every Praise. Let's see. That's D chord, I think.
Every word I worship and what I It's a privilege to be here to worship with you tonight. I think Brother Jack is up to this, and he put me on the spot, especially this being my first time with so many people here. So y'all pray for me. I am really not a singer, and he says that I am. But your family knows you best, and if you ask them, they would say, no, Mama, don't sing. Because when I'm singing around the house to our gospel tunes, they're like, let the people sing, Mama. So I don't know what key I sing in. They tell me B flat all the time, but I don't know. It could change. And if you can find me, just please follow me. Thank you, Lord. I don't know why Jesus loves me. I don't know why he cares. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. But I'm so glad. I'm so glad he did. How could I live if Jesus didn't love me? How could I live if he didn't care? How could I live if he didn't sacrifice his life? Hallelujah. But I'm so glad. I'm so glad he did. He left his mighty throne from glory to bring to us redemption story. He died and rose again for you. I'm so glad, hallelujah, I'm so glad he did. Where would I be if Jesus didn't love me? Hallelujah. Where would I be, hallelujah, if he didn't care? Hallelujah. Where would I be? He didn't sacrifice his life, and I'm so glad. I'm so glad he did, and that's why I love him. Lord, I love him. I love you more today. Because you cared for me way back on Calvary. That's why I praise you. Lord, I lift you up and I magnify your name. Hallelujah. That's why my heart is filled with praise. My heart, my mind, my soul, it belongs to you. You paid the price for me way back on Calvary. That's why I praise you. Lord, I lift you up and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you more today, because you care for me. Way back on Calvary, that's why I praise you. Lord, I lift you up and I magnify your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's stand tonight. Amen. Sister Oldsby, you go back home and them youngins tell you not to sing again, you slap them. I'm just teasing. I'll get arrested. Somebody said that Jewel Forney walked in. We're running just a little bit late, but we don't want to get in a form around here. It'd almost be unpardonable for him to be here two services and not sing, won't it be a time? Yeah. Brother Jewel will come. Amen. Amen. I'll never forget one time Brother Tim Pruitt was here. And he was back in the study and I went back to check with Brother Donnie about the preliminaries. I said, we need to give Brother Tim plenty of time, this and that. Brother Tim said, take all the time you want. I'm still going to preach 2 hours. So we're going to give Brother Donnie will take his liberty. We know that. And we don't want to get in the form. We love these folks, don't we? We love these folks. Sing that song for us. Can we help you?
Yes, okay. Help me. Well, praise God. I just went to the doctor the other day, and the doctor told me, he said, son, you're about to have a stroke or a heart attack. I was sitting there thinking, I said, I really don't feel like I'm really going to have a stroke or a heart attack, but that's what you said. And I realized my blood pressure was up a little bit, but I realized, they told me a story, a guy just came to me and said, brother, once you get on them blood pressure pills, you're going to be on them for the rest of your life. I said, that's a lie from the pits of hell. Hallelujah. I'm not claiming no demon. I do what the doctor said, but I'm not claiming no devil. Hallelujah. I'm going to put those pills down. Blood pressure got to come back. Why? Because we are living in a time of the changing of the body. Hallelujah. Won't it be a time? Hallelujah. And you say, Brother Joel, what's wrong with your body? My body is in death. But something on the inside of me called a soul that comes from God that makes him not die. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Won't it be a time? Oh, won't it be a time? cane. He said, Brother Joel, when I was on earth, I was sick. I was walking with a cane. But they called me Brother Jackie Benny. I'm running now. I'm in hell. We might as well wake the devil up. Let the devil know this bride is rising up. I say, won't it be a time? Hey, won't it be a time? Come on now. We ain't at a ball game. We got the bride coming to Christ. He got gray hair now. I looked at a friend that called Brother Horn. He got gray hair now. My hair turning gray. But I want to tell you, sir, I'm going to a plot. I don't need no hair dye. I don't need that. I'm going to a place that I'm going to get a new body, a new hairdo. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Brother Jewel's kind of resting a little bit and getting charged up. I think probably after he gets where he's rested up, we probably need to have him here for about the first month after he gets back. Now, y'all know there ain't no white man can follow that. To me, friends, it's not just a song. It's more than our minds can comprehend. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a figment of somebody's imagination. It's a promise of God. Let's turn tonight, if you would, to the book of Luke, chapter 15, verse 31 and 32. We've been looking for quite some time on from the Song of Solomon about the king and the galleries, how the king is held by the bride in the galleries. Looking at several different galleries, and we've been on sovereignty for a little bit. We'd like to look at that again tonight. How many believes God is sovereign? He don't need our permission, our consent. He does what He pleases. That's right. Now, He's not the one who's caused all this sin and all this that's in the world, but He has allowed it. And there is a great difference. He's not the cause, and He did not create it. Let's look at the older brother again tonight, Luke chapter 15, verse 31. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found, Now remember, in these three parables in the book of Luke, Jesus has given us the real true understanding of redemption. The coin was lost, which means it was out of circulation. The sheep was lost, but it does not mean that it was a goat changed into a sheep when it was found. This prodigal was lost, which means he was out of God's or his father's presence, but he was never changed in specie. Same with us. We were not goats changed into sheep. We always were sheep. You say, I want to debate with that. It's not up for debate. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and I give unto them eternal life. But if you notice the way he said it, they was done his sheep before they had eternal life. My sheep know my voice, and I give unto them eternal life. That's the older brother that gets it anyhow, not the soul. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord. We just rejoice in your presence that we've experienced already, the songs, the worship. Lord, we just think of what a great time it's going to be when we get together as the people of God. We'll never have to part. We'll never have to say goodbye. We'll never get tired or weary. Lord Jesus, may there not be a one of us in this place tonight missing on that day. May the Spirit of God give us that which we need that'll make us prepared for that great hour that lays before us. Lord, we ask that your presence would come and anoint the word. Father, I have in my hand tonight two prayer calls, and you know the needs of these people. They are so diverse, one from the other. Lord, I won't mention what they are, but you know how desperate. You know, Lord Jesus, this particular young woman and what she's going through, Lord, and the bondage that Satan's got her life in with this addiction. But Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus, when this handkerchief is placed near her father, may them demons leave her, Lord. May the presence of God, I pray, set her free, Lord. Help her, dear God, to realize there's true happiness and true peace in Jesus Christ, not in drugs and the things of the world. Lord God, we love you. We commit the service and your word into your great charge tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Now, I'm not Brother Tim tonight, and I ain't going to preach 2 hours, so you don't have to sweat. The only way I'll preach 2 hours is I turn cross-eyed and can't see that clock back there. So I got about the biggest one I could find where nearly a blind man could preach or see it, but apparently some preachers don't look on the back wall and see it there. I believe we ought to say a whole lot, but you know, I'm of the consideration that whenever you get to where you can't take no more, it's time to dismiss and go home, and we'll come back and do it again in the morning. We do believe that God is sovereign, as we've said before, and I know that people struggle with the sovereignty of God because they so want to hold on to the tradition that has been brought down to man through the church ages of what they want to make out of their own will. But yet, truly, we know that God himself is sovereign. Even the revelation is sovereign. God reveals his word to whom he will. You cannot buy it. You cannot be able to achieve it any other way other than the sovereignty of God of giving it to you. And as we look at the condition of the earth today, and truly, it's in a terrible, terrible shape. Politics, religion, all the things that we see around us, it's absolutely horrible. But aren't you glad you know tonight he's still got it in control? Now, he's not doing this. He is not the one who is orchestrating it to be, but he still knew that it would come, and he allowed it to come in order to be able to express the greatness of his attributes. And if he did not do it without a purpose, then what kind of a God would we be serving? But we know that before time ever began, and we know the consensus of it comes together in Genesis chapter 1, and we know that God had this eternal purpose within himself. And we believe that the bride, the elect, they find their identity in him before the foundation of the world, through the election of God. Not anything we could ever do, not even our own choice of saying, I want Him, I want to live for Him, but He chose you before you ever even had a right or even the sense to make a choice. But He had to do it in a way that would be just and honorable, of course, because God, knowing that all the billions of people that will live upon the face of the earth, each of them would have to stand before Him, and He must be just in how He deals with every one of them. So He will give them the opportunity to accept Him, even though their name would not be found written in the Lamb's portion of the Book of Life, which is His personal diary. And you know that God, whenever He began to express Himself or expand His creation from eternity down into time, what was light and matter and time, that God began to become into expression, and the prophet tells us that's the whole thing of God wanting to be expressed. Now, I want us to go back, if we can, into the Garden of Eden, and let us pick up on the setting of how the sovereignty of God began to display itself before man ever fell. Now, in the Garden of Eden, man actually worked before the fall. Man worked before the fall, but man never worked in fatigue, or man never sweated, or man never got tired, man never got weary, but it was a work at a leisurely pace. And man enjoyed this type of work. Now, unless you're just sorry and lazy tonight, everybody in here knows that there's an element of work that we should enjoy. You say, well, I'm going to do this and this. Well, you're going to work. I actually enjoy it. I enjoy doing this and that. But if you can imagine in your mind that God never placed man in the Garden of Eden in the first dispensation of innocence to where that he was totally idle. God knew that man could not live in this great world and live in a realm of idleness and not do anything. And yet he worked and he toiled, but he never got tired. And he never sweated. He never got stressed. He never got worn out. And that's exactly where we're going back to. Now watch, the sweat that we experience today and the toil and the feeling that we have whenever we work and do things, wow, that's worn me out. I'm so tired. You know, that never happened to man in the beginning. All of that came after the fall. Man actually worked and he enjoyed it, and it was not a laborious type of thing. Now watch in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it. Look at this word. It means to work, to serve, to labor, to do work, or work for another. So the Lord places the man in the Garden of Eden, and the man is actually going to do work, but he's never going to be tired. So he was there for, let's say, hundreds of years or thousands. We don't know how long he was there, but he was there for all of those years and working every day and dressing the garden and coming through and keeping the vines from intertwining one into the other, because it was the nature of vines to kind of become clingy and wrap around one another. So now the man never made the seeds, or the man never made the plants, or the man never actually set them out. But what the man is going to do is just dress them and be able to keep them in their proper place. And this is so designed by God. God could have allowed the plants to where the plants would have the characteristic and the trait built in themselves to where they wouldn't need man to do it. But the creation itself showed there would be a further extension of that, and that would give the man something to do. So the man comes on the scene, and when he does, he begins to labor and he begins to work and he dresses the garden and puts everything exactly where God wanted it to be. Notice he said that he brought the man there to dress it and to keep it. And the Hebrew word shamar, which is to keep, to guard, to observe, have charge of, to keep watch and ward or protect, or to keep within bounds. Now the original seed by God's spoken word was placed there, and God had already sowed the earth And remember that Eden was like a state, and the Garden of Eden laid on the very eastern end of the place called Eden, and there was the headquarters. Now, all the earth, of course, had beautiful plants and flowers and trees, but they must have been more outstanding. And the fruits that were in the Garden of Eden were different than what was on the outside. And man was living on the inside, and up at this time, man never ate vegetables, nor did man eat meat. But man ate the special diet of that which growed only in the Garden of Eden. And they were particular plants for a particular purpose, for a particular part of God's creation. So the man is placed here now, so he's eating of these great fruits of the paradise of God, and he's working and he's dressing and maintaining all the vines and all the plants and all the animals. And the Lord God brought the animals to the man to see what the man would name them. And whatever the man named them, as he would watch the characteristics and the traits, and he would see how it would walk and how it would be able to do. Now remember, man never created them, but in working with God to what God wanted him to be, God made them, and then he brought them to the man and left them nameless. And then the man looked at them and he watched them by the discernment of God, and he gave to them the name of elephant or zebra or tiger or lion or monkey or whatever more, and it was exactly what God would have named them. So the man is actually now working in the confines of what God wanted him to be. Now remember, God is sovereign, and God knew that the man would fall, but he could not make the man fall and be just. So he gives the man, in representation as being the head of the race, he gives the man the book of life. Now he gives the man this ability so that man would be able to reproduce himself. And the woman is actually going to be given to the man sometime later for the purpose of fellowship and reproduction, which was the very avenue that the devil tripped her up. The devil got her fellowshipping with the wrong person, and he reproduced him. Now you realize, as a church, as a bride, we have the ability as a female, and we are called for fellowship and reproduction. This is why we should be careful who we fellowship with, because if we get to fellowshipping around the wrong people, we'll reproduce them if we're not careful, instead of Christ the Word. Praise the Lord. Now it's totally up to you. Now remember, the Garden of Eden has this potential of bringing forth absolutely everything that God wanted to be, but it's under the auspices or the headship or the care of man himself. Now watch, the scripture says, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now the garden was made to where God could have so designed it. The perfection status would have remained in the potential of every seed. And the seed would have actually grown and grown. It would have maintained perfection, completion, maturity, and even self-dressing within itself, if God would have so designed. But he designed it so it would come up to a certain spot, it would be able to unfold itself in beauty and in a state of perfection, but it would lead the life stage for the man to come in and add his care, add his watchful eye, and dress it. It's the same way with us as the bride of Christ. God saves us. God gives us the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He gives us the message of the hour, but God leaves an element of your dressing and your finishing up to the fivefold ministry. And then God takes that fivefold ministry and they dress you with the cross of the Word, or you say, I don't need them. But you see, God made you that way. God made you to where that you cannot be able to do it by yourself, no more than the Garden of Eden could dress itself or keep itself. Well, come on, church. You need a God called ministry. You need a church. You need one another as brothers and sisters. We are not complete by ourselves. We need one another, especially as the time goes on. I believe we need one another now more than we've ever before. Now truly, God reflects this in the way that he created the Garden of Eden. So the garden was a beautiful, absolute beautiful paradise of God. Now man also is going to do this, and as he's going to dress and keep the garden, it actually will be twofold, in that it will come into what God wants him to be as far as position, but it will also repress idleness away from the man. So the man is not just going to kick back in the Garden of Eden in a recliner and drink sweet tea and eat mangoes all the time. He's got something he's going to do. So even in the state of innocence, work is necessary. Now, I hate to disappoint some of you all, but in the new earth, we're actually going to work in the new earth. Oh, praise the Lord. Now, I know you're thinking in your mind, you're thinking work right now. That's not what the type of work it'll be. It'll go back to the original status of work. It will not be stressful. You'll never break a sweat. You'll never get wore out or feel like you can't take another day on the job. You won't be able to wait for another day or another day or another day. It will be work that will produce pleasure because it will bring us back to the original creation. Praise the Lord. Now, God so designed it this way. Now, what's this in Satan's Eden? Brother Rem says, finally, he got it all made and finally arrived with its headquarters on the earth in a beautiful spot laying east of Eden called the Garden of Eden. Now, notice laying east of Eden. And, of course, the word east in the Hebrew is in the antiquities. So, he was laying east of Eden called the Garden of Eden. So, it laid in the antiquities to where God chose to place this particular spot. All the earth was beautiful. All of Eden was a paradise. But there was something about the Garden of Eden. God showing what? Election, even in the choice of his ground. God could have put it west. He could have put it north. He could have put it south. But God chose the easterly direction. Praise the Lord. Now, notice then what the prophet is. He relates to the scriptural unfolding of this. He sat in a beautiful spot laying east of Eden, called the Garden of Eden. God made the world's headquarters in the Garden of Eden in Egypt, right at the east end of the garden was the headquarters. So now we find in this state called Eden, in the very farther eastern tip of this state, laid the Garden of Eden. And then in the very eastern part of the Garden of Eden, laid man's headquarters where the man lived. Now notice how God is going east, east, east. Now remember, God works in directional methods to unfold his word. It was Satan who said he wanted the sides of the north. Now remember, the north is the flank, or also, as it's related to in scripture, it was the side portrayed in which the female would give birth. But God was going east and west. How does the sun move? East and west. Praise the Lord. Now watch, he says it lay east, and the east end of the garden was the headquarters. Over the whole situation, he put his son and his son's wife over all of it. That's right. That's what God did. He put them in full control. They could speak to the winds, and it would cease to blow. They would speak to the tree, it would move from here to there. The lion and the wolf fed together, and the lamb lay down with them. There was no evil. It was perfect peace, perfect harmony. Everything in perfection when God had it under his control. Now, wait a minute. I thought man was the one in charge. He was. Under the auspices of God. As long as Adam had it under his control, God had it under his control. You see, when God sent Moses down to the land of Egypt with the rod of God in his hand, as long as Moses had it, God had it. As long as Moses had it, God had it. As long as man was in charge of the earth, God was in charge of the earth. And when man forfeited that charge of the earth, then God's enemy got that charge of the earth. Don't you understand why? God must bring man back in control of the earth. As long as the devil's got it, it means man is not fully redeemed. But when man gets it, it shows God's got it back under his control again. Why? Because man is God's agent forever. It's just the way God chose to do it. Now notice he said it was perfect peace, perfect harmony, everything in perfection. When God had it under his control, he had his word, had it all in operation. Everything eating vegetation. Now remember, there's no carnivorous nature in the lion and the tiger. Nothing is killing animals. No blood is being shed. So everything is eating vegetation. So the great big T-Rex would come to the garden and he would reach over real high on whatever type type of trees that there was in the original garden, and the low-lying dinosaurs and all the great behemoths of animals, they would come in and they'd pull off and they would just tear a branch off or a leaf off, and it would just grow right back because it was continual perpetual life. And no blood was being shed. Now remember, the life is in the blood. So when the blood is shed, it's the symbol that the life is broken. But trees and plants were made so they would be able to grow back. Remember when the kings come into the bride city in the eighth day, they will break off a leaf and they'll exchange those leaves one with another. But you know what? None of the trees will ever go bare. None of them will ever lose all their leaves. Remember, they pull one off and it grows right back. They pull one off and it grows right back. Because the perpetual life of God will be flowing in them. Oh my, I wish we could go tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Notice this, everything eating vegetation, nothing to die, nothing to be ruined, nothing to be spoiled, nothing. It was just perfect. And over it all, he placed his beloved children, his son and his daughter, a husband and wife to control it. His son and his daughter, a husband and wife to control it. Praise God. God was so satisfied, he rested from all his works at the seventh day. And hallowed this seventh day Sabbath for him, because God looked it all over. He had been 6,000 years in molding it and fixing it out, making it come into existence and put the mountains up, and making the volcanics push the mountains and the things that taken place in the eruptions and dried it off. Oh my, I love to hear this. And fixed it that way he had it. It was a beautiful place. I've got a bunch of National Geographic videos, and I watch them, how they go to explaining it. So many 100 million years ago, this done this and this done that. And you say, y'all need to tap into a prophet of God and get a real, real visionary view of what took place back yonder. Praise the Lord. Now you imagine that God, how beautiful it was, and the Lord just loved it so much. Now notice this in Genesis 2:1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, plural. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the millennium, the seventh day, and sanctified it, because that he had rested from all of his work which God created and made. Notice the differentiation between the two verbs here. Created and made. Creation, an aspect of God. Made being an aspect of God. Works in two different channels. Now notice, there was nothing like it, the prophet said. The great paradises of God. The great dinosaurs and whatever more. Crawling through it. The great animals and no harm in them. They were just as gentle as a little kitten. Can you imagine a gigantic dinosaur standing how many ever, you know, feet that they were high, and a big old long tail, and the birds of paradise just flying around through there, and one gigantic animal after another, and they were as gentle as a kitten. There was no harm in them at all. None of them were fighting. None of them were fussing, and they were eating vegetation. My, what a paradise. Oh, hallelujah. And God had it under control via his son. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, what a place. The great birds swinging from tree to tree, and Adam could call them by name, and they would fly upon his shoulder and coo to him. Oh, what a wonderful place God had. Oh, Lord, pardon me. When can we go back? When can we go back? If you're holding me up, would you please hurry? Would you please hurry? Notice this, in God's power to transform God's great economy. It's what we believe that we're headed back to. We're going back to that spot, that place. Where? Where? That seventh morning. When God looked upon it all and said, it is good. I am pleased with it. I'm glad I did it. That's what I want him to say about me. I don't want God having no regrets he ever made me. You. I want God to look at me and say, I'm glad I made you, Donnie. You're quirky, you're different, you're odd as all get out, and you've got your oddities and peculiarities, but I'm glad I made you, Donnie. I love you. That's the kind of person I want to be. Well, God himself, don't you want to be that type of person? Now you imagine God looked at it and said, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I've made millions of species of plants and animals and trees and insects. Beautiful. They're all beautiful and wonderfully made. But what happened? What happened? This man that he knew would fall leaves out of this paradise and disobeys God's word. He breaks his one single word that God gave him. Now you imagine, Adam didn't have 66 books of the Bible the way we got. He didn't have over 1,100 tapes. He had just a few words to keep. Please don't misunderstand me. We are more complete. We are greater conquerors than Adam ever was. I figured that'd choke you a little bit, but think about it, and then you'll say amen when I'm done. It'll hit you. You imagine all that God has committed to our charge, and we will not fail it. Now, what's this in Genesis 3:17 after the fall? And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Now man does not go out and wave his hand, and vegetables come up. Man can speak, let there be tomatoes. You'll stand there till you starve to death. And there won't be one. No cucumbers. But I'll tell you how you'll get them. If you're going to get them out of the ground yourself, you're going to get them by working. No wonder Paul said, those that don't work don't eat. Well, glory. I know this don't go good in our welfare society, but it's still the scripture. We got folks on spiritual welfare in the church. Well, praise the Lord. They want to sign up for every check coming. They want to sign up for this, that, and the other. And they want a religion of convenience. They don't want to sacrifice. Well, if I feel like it, I'll go to church. If I feel like it, I'll worship him. If I feel like it, if not, I'm going to stay home and hook up to the welfare. I mean the internet. And I'm going to celebrate. I'm a little bit tired. I honestly don't feel like going tonight. Go ahead, you welfare Christian. We'll send you your check over the internet. Now, I'm not saying that for folks who want to be in church and can't be. I'm talking about them lazy hides that won't come. Well, preach, Brother Donnie. Now watch. God spoke to the serpent, cursed the serpent. Then God speaks to the woman and multiplies her sorrow and her conception. Notice what God does for the man. And he says that you've eaten of the tree which I commanded you, you should not eat. Now he says, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. So now the king is punished with his kingdom. As Pharaoh was punished the same as the Egyptians were when God was sending plagues, so now the king of the earth is being punished, or going to be punished, with his kingdom. And Adam was not being cursed because of his identity with the earth. The earth was being cursed because of its identity with man. There is a great difference. The earth never done any wrong. The earth never sinned. But because man came from the dust, The earth suffers because of its identity with man. You know that's as well with family members and friends and so on. We can be friends of somebody and they get in some kind of trouble and we're identified as a nephew, a daughter, a son, whatever more. And we suffer with them though we were totally innocent of it ourselves. Now watch, as God now, He doesn't curse the man. He cannot, of course, he's a seed. But what he's going to do is the earth itself will be identified in man's fall. Now watch this. He says, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. So God is going to now change the man's diet. Now remember, man at this time is still not a meat eater. That doesn't happen till after the flood. In the dispensational change, when it goes from one to the other, the dietary laws would also change with it. So your man is now still a vegetarian, but he's going to eat, and all his diet is changed from the fruits of the Garden of Eden to where now he's going to eat the herb of the field, which was given for the animals, not man. Man was never intended to eat the herb of the field, but man was intended to live on the fruit or the word that dwelt in the Garden of Eden. But now because the man has disobeyed the word, his diet will also be changed and the man will go out of the Garden of Eden and the man will have to labor and the man will have to sweat and the man will have to toil and the man will only remember those fruits of Eden. You think blueberries are good? Watermelon and cantaloupe and pears and apples and pineapples and whatever more that you like as far as fruit? That ain't nothing compared to what a man ate in the Garden of Eden. And yet we love them. We love them. Oh, they're good. And my, you just love to eat whatever your favorites are. But can you imagine? They're under the curse. They're under the curse. What kind of fruits was in that place? I don't know yet. But I'm fixing to find out. Now Adam the gardener becomes Adam the toiler. He would walk out and he would just take his time and prune and clean. And this stuff right here wasn't there. It was not there. He never reached over to, oh, Eve, help me. Dear God, this one out on me again. Oh no. He never had an ache. He never had a pain. Amen. I saw one of our sisters last night. I won't call her name, but she was over after the banquet and reaching down and getting some of the cookies out of the lower shelf. And she got down and her husband had to come over and help get her up. I thought, yeah, been there and done that. And if you ain't, you will. So just hang tight. Because there's something about it. They will never be able to find a pill that will stop old age or death. Why? It's the law of God. There's only one who can stop old age and death in its tracks. That's the one who gave the law. You imagine what a privileged people you are. That some of us sitting here tonight, 60s and 70s and 80s or whatever more. But one day when the change comes on our bodies, God will stop old age in its tracks. Oh, hallelujah. We shall be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Why? Our diet has changed from the diet of the earth. We're feasting on heavenly things. You see, in the reverse process of redemption, man fell and his diet changed after his fall. Our diet's changing, which is going to lead us to the new body. What we're eating is already in front of the flesh changed. Glory. No matter how hard. Now listen, I know this don't go over good and I know it ain't politically correct. But no matter how hard America and the world ever tries to get away from male dominance, they'll never do it. Why? It's God's law. God told the woman, your desire shall be unto your husband and he shall rule over you. Pass all the bills of rights you want to. Pass all the things you want to pass. It's still God's word. I don't give the men the right to be a bully. I don't give them a right to, you know, oh, that's
sort of thing, but the earth will never. Don't you understand why Satan's doing what he's doing? He's not defying us. He's trying to defy God's original word. This is why he wants a woman president in America. This is why he wants women mayors and this and that and the other. Why? God said this is the way it's going to be. And Satan said, I challenge you, God.
Well, glory. A woman ain't meant to be burly.
A woman ain't meant to back the shovel. A woman ain't meant to be on the police force.
Oh boy, here we go.
A woman ain't meant to be a state trooper and pull you over. Show me your license, sir. Pies, cakes, puddings, cornbread, black-eyed peas, beans, taters, maters. You get the idea? But you see, the world hates that. Let them hate it if they want. They'll never change it. Never. They will never change male dominance. They will never change agonizing labor.
I don't care how methodical we make it, how computer controlled we make it. God's word says we'll labor to the end, and we will. Now, man may make it easier on the back and on the hands. And what does it do? It'll transfer from the back to the pressure on the mind. And then some of you may not have to work really laboriously that way, but then sometimes it's easier to work with your back than it is your head. You get under such stress, and come on, you know what I'm talking about. Don't you see why science and civilization and education, what they're trying to do? They're trying to minimize all of these things and minimize all the labor. Americans don't want to work. Well, come on, don't get quiet on me. When the brothers here at the church who employs a Mexican man, and they ask him, he said, what do you think about Donald Trump and wanting to build that wall? He said, I kind of look forward to it. He said, I figure we'll be the ones to be able to build it. Because Americans don't want to do it. Well, glory. We want to push a button and do this and that and the other. We'll never, those of you that want a perfect job and a perfect boss, you need to reread your Bible. We are placed under labor. Preachers want a perfect church and trouble-free and no problem. There is no such a thing. There is no home without labor. There is no job without difficult. It's God's word. Well, some of these college kids are looking at me tonight so sad. They're going to get a degree in laziness. Make $1,500 a week and do absolutely nothing. Wouldn't that be ideal? It would not be ideal. We need to work. Praise the Lord.
Now watch in Genesis chapter 5 verse 28. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Comfort.
Or as you know it, Noah.
He called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because the ground which the Lord has cursed. Now this is hundreds of years after the Garden of Eden. But this is still being taught to the descendants of Adam. So whenever Noah is born, they give him the name Comfort, hoping that somehow Noah's visitation to the earth would change part of the toil.
Did they miss it? Or was part of the mystery of God in his name?
Now, they're introducing the first cycle of justification, or the first stage of redemption, to the earth. So man labored and sweated and labored, and now this drops in this man's heart. And we're going to have this son and bring him forth, and we'll call his name Comfort. And he somehow will help us with the labor that we're under. Amen. No Now watch in Genesis again, chapter 3, verse 18. Watch how God says to Adam after the fall, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb, not the fruit. So the ground now changes. Thorns start coming up everywhere. And thistles. And man's diet changes. Now he's eating animal food. This is what the animals are supposed to eat. Man was never intended to eat animal food. So now you'll eat the herb of the field. You're just a little bit higher than an animal. Thorns and thistles the earth will bring forth. Now remember what Paul had in his flesh. What? Lollipop, chocolate pie, carrot cake, coconut cake. Thorn. Thorn. And what type of crown did the second Adam wear? What's he doing in redemption? He's bringing that very curse to where, Brother Jim? His head. Thorns was mentioned in the Garden of Eden. Sweat was mentioned in the Garden of Eden. Thorns are mentioned about the second man, Adam. And sweat is mentioned in the Garden of Gethsemane. Iberg, he's here. Hallelujah. Amen. The second Adam had arrived. What's the sign? Thorns and sweat.
Amen.
Glory to God. I might have had a spell and the Lord showed me that this week. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Oh my. Notice the ground will now start mocking the man. He will toil and he will labor. And you toil and he'll labor. And the ground will mock him.
Amen.
Let me read you a few thorns. Thistles multiply enormously. A species called Carolina sylvestris bears ordinarily from 20 to 40 heads, each containing 100 to 150 seeds. Now, if we could ever have green peppers like that, and maters and beans. Listen to this one. Carduus vulgatimus. I hope I don't miss them, but I might have there. And I really like the way they say this, or common hedge thistle. Why didn't y'all just say that in the first place? Besides almost infinite swarms of winged seeds. Now, why couldn't tomatoes be like that? Why couldn't watermelons have winged seeds? Why couldn't beans and then something that really is of some use? Why in the world would this thing have a winged seed? Glory. Swarms of winged seeds it sends forth, spreads its roots around many yards, and throws up suckers everywhere, which not only produce seeds in their turn, but extend their roots and propagate like the parent plant, and stifle and destroy all vegetation but their own. Without hoeing, watering, miracle growing. You thought that was something. Listen to this guy. Another species called Acanthum vulgare. That name is enough to scare you to death. Produces over 100 heads. Each containing 300 to 400 seeds. If these thistles produce at a minimum of 800 heads, that each contains only 300 seeds, the first crop from these would amount to 24,000. Let these be sown and their crop will amount to 576 million.
Man, if they could figure out a way to grow moon pies that way. Whoa.
Now watch this. So you plant, you've got these ones, and you come out of there, 24,000 seeds, you plant them, and their crop will be 576 million. So these, and they will produce 13,824,000,000.
Now if that was dollars and cents, boy, wouldn't we be something.
And a single crop from these, which is only the third year's growth, would amount to 331,776 billion. And the fourth year's growth will amount to 7,962 trillion, 624,000 billion.
That sounds like our deficit. No, just counting weeds, that's all.
This is only one species. A progeny more than sufficient to stock not only the surface of the whole world, but all of the planets of the solar system. So that no other plant or vegetable could possibly grow, allowing but space of 1 square foot. For each plant. And if you just want some pretty petunias in your front yard, you got to work like a dog. I planted some of my flowers this year 3 times already. I'm about ready to go to Hobby Lobby and buy some plastic ones. It's like, all you want's a little color? I mean, what's the deal? Just to have a little bit of color to brighten up the summer just a little bit. What is the problem? Don't you understand, friend? It's the same way in your walk with God. Oh, my carnality flourishes and it blooms and it explodes. It is so easy for us to be carnal. It is so easy for us to magnetize to the things of the world. And when it comes to being spiritual, I'm talking about really spiritual, we struggle and we struggle to read our Bible and pray and go to the house of God. Why? The dust is cursed.
Don't just look at these plants here. Look at yourself, old little brother. Look at the roots that sprout up in your mind, in your conscience, in your subconscious. Look at how it's so easy for us to be overwhelmed with weeds of bitterness and weeds of hatred and all kinds of weeds, and they flourish without any care at all. You ever been bitter toward anybody or had an attitude toward anybody? Seemed like that thing growed up overnight. It didn't seem like it took no nurturing from the pastor, no quotes to be able to back it up, but it seemed like it takes forever to get rid of it. What? Dust. Dust. Oh my.
God says, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. So you imagine he walks out of paradise.
God puts angels there with a flaming sword to protect the way back to the tree of life. Maybe they were drove out in the morning. We don't know exactly what time it was, but they were driven out, and now they can't take any fruits with them from the garden. So they got to go out and try to grub around for a living. Maybe they found something over here. Oh, it's so bitter. Oh, I remember. Don't you remember, honey, how it was when we used to love God so much and go to church, and our heart was so full of joy. Our children was in church, and we loved God, and they loved God, and we played tapes around our home. And
You imagine him going out. So Eve said, what are we going to eat, Adam? I don't know. I'm not familiar with this stuff. There's a funny looking thing hanging there. I don't know what it is. Pull it off the tree. Oh, boy, that don't. Oh, my goodness. Well, over here's something else. Let's try this. And they said, oh, that don't taste nothing like what we've been used to. That's the way sin does. Now he's degraded. Now he's fallen. His teeth are set on edge, as the scripture has said. His diet has now changed. And he notices himself over there just going through a little bit of stuff, trying to dig up a little something. What's this I feel? Oh my goodness, and there's Eve standing by him, and the sun seems so hot. What's wrong with the temperature out here? It seems so different. And there stands Eve. Drip. Drip. And Adam's standing there with his garments and he's laboring and working. And a big sweat streak comes down his chest. Around his arms, the sweat is coming out and he starts smelling. He never smelled before. He never sweated before. He never ate this before. Lord Jesus. Notice in verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. The first time in the Bible the word is used. Bread was not mentioned in the Garden of Eden. Now bread is mentioned. And bread, lamech, signifies labor. Of course, they would call bread, whether it be meat, whether it be soup, whether it be lentils, whatever more. It was the main title of what they would call their food. What is it? The putting together of man's ability. Eve had to learn how to cook. Putting this with that and that with this. Trying to find something they could eat. Meal after meal. Day after day. This tastes awful. Oh, I wish I hadn't listened to you. Her saying, I wish I hadn't listened to that devil. Well, what can we do, Adam? What can we do? We've got to make the best of it. This tastes awful. Oh, I long for the days when we could go back to church and our fellowship was right with God. Oh, wow. It seems like now every time we go, Brother Donnie just tears a hide off of us. It's because you need it. It's because you need it. You see, when you get cold and you get indifferent, the diet changes and God has to give you rough grub. He's got to give you some rough stuff in order to help you in your body. So the sweat of his face is now substituted for light, pleasurely dressing. So we just come through the garden and take care of all the vines. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Pristine. Just wonderful. Now here. Don't you get messed up now. You can't, you're not supposed to do that. You stay over here, away from that one now. You've got the ability to grow, and you've got the ability to grow, but I'm here to divide you two now. You're not supposed to cross your species. Let every seed bring forth of its own kind. And over there was this great, whatever kind of tree it was, and you reach over and get it. You and I ain't never, never tasted food like was in the garden. I don't care what your favorite food is. It's like eating out of a garbage dump compared to the fruits in paradise. But remember, he's got it all in control. The sweat of thy face shalt thou eat thy bread till thou return to the ground. Who are we talking to, God? The older brother, of course. Adam's soul didn't come from the ground. It ain't going back to the ground. My soul never come from the ground. It come from God. But my body's going back to the dust every day.
Yours is too. That's what Brother Joe's talking about a while ago, about gray hairs and false teeth and high blood pressure and low blood pressure and no blood pressure. All we're dealing with, what is it? It's the curse that's on the earth. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken. Who is he talking to? The older brother. Amen. You come from the ground and you're going back. But don't worry, you ain't staying. Glory. For dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. We can send spaceships to Mars. We can send spaceships out in the universe and send signals back with pictures that have been traveling for years, that NASA launched years ago. And the communication is so far out, it takes days for the signal to even come back. We found ways to go in and transplant organs, hearts, livers, kidneys, lungs, brains. Why can't they find a way to stop getting old? If we could get at that ideal age and flip a switch. And never get one day older. And our hair would stay the same. Our strength, our vitality. And you'd be 1,000, 1,500 years old, something like that. And you'd look like you was about 20. Man, if we could come up with a pill like that, Lord, have mercy. You imagine people standing in line? We've got one. We've got one. It's called the gospel. That you get up so old and God flips the switch and you stop. Amen. You stop getting old. There will never be an old person in heaven. I want to personally reinvite you to the largest young people's meeting that's ever been. Amen. The only thing welcome is young people, and they will always be young people. Notice the prophet says, we want everything just so we can take it easy and retire and take life easy. Wow, now if we could, you know, go to school and get a good education and come out of there and get a degree and work from about, oh, I don't know, let me restretch it out here. Work from about 20 to 22 and a half and be filthy rich. I mean, just have money to burn and just then retire at 23. Don't you sit there and act like you don't wish you could do that. Most of you like me, you done give up on being a millionaire, the first one anyway. So you're trying for the second one now. Oh, if we could have it easy, man! It's not intended for it to be easy. Now, I know this don't go over good in the day we're living in. I ain't worried about being politically correct. I want to be word correct. Listen, the prophet said so we can take it easy and retire and take life easy. I used to think when people reach old age, I mean 55, 60, you know. That the man and the woman just kind of grabbed a hold of one another's hands. Want to go out on the porch, honey? Sure. Let's go before I fall asleep. I'll see you after a bit. Okay. I'll be 60 in a few weeks and I'm thinking, Lord, I'm going more now than I did when I was 20. And I'm not the only one. Y'all are too. It seems like there's never enough time to get everything done. And the harder you go, the behinder you get. And you think, what in the world is going on? Will it ever slow down? In the change. In the change. Life was not intended to be easy for us Christians.
Brother Branham said, life wasn't intended to be easy. Life is a struggle. Anything that's got life is struggling. Look at the trees, how they struggle. Look at everything that's got life. It's a struggle. And when we try to get some kind of system that takes it easy, then we're wrong. Can't you see why people want an easy religion? They want a retirement religion. Well, they come together with their cup of coffee and they sit there and rock in church. Wake me when he's done. Is he finished yet? What, the 17 minutes long? Glory to God, that's my type of preacher. Hallelujah, I've retired my religion. I don't have to pray. I don't have to pay tithes. I don't have to go to church unless I want to. I have got a retirement religion. That religion will take you to hell. We don't need a retirement religion. We need a life religion which will lead us to true retirement. Glory to God. Again, I would like to extend a personal invitation to each of you, because there is a retirement plan that I am part of in a gated community. The gates are gigantic pearl and the streets are made of gold. It is a gated community. You want to go with me? How many wants to go with me to this gated retirement community? Oh my. So what do we find? The second Adam. Look at me, he mirrors the first. The first Adam now chopping, where before he just lightly pulled the hoe and the mattock and whatever more. It's just so easy. It's fun. Really, work was enjoyable. He said, I can't wait to get out there. That looks so good. Hand me a leaf sandwich. And he'd take a leaf sandwich for lunch. And I'd eat a leaf sandwich for supper. And it's, everything was leaves. Nothing dying. He couldn't wait to get out there. And then God would come down in the evening and lay him down and put him to sleep. My, just one wonderful day after another. Do you honestly think we're just going to sit up in heaven and everybody's sing? I love singing, but I'd get tired of it after about 384,000 years. We're not going to sing. We're going to work. Some of y'all are not sure you want to go after this sermon tonight, are you? You sorry outfit. So the first man, Adam, now labors for his bread. Sweat pours off of his face. But let's move to another garden as I close. I see another Adam, the head of a new race. I see sweat now falling from his face. As the first Adam sweated to bring forth bread, the second Adam is sweating blood to bring forth his bread wife. I am that true bread that came down from heaven, so bread marries bread. So he's laboring. Where? In the garden. With what? Dust. Laboring with dust. And it's so profuse that the capillaries in his stream begin to break forth and blood enters into his sweat glands. One drop after another. After another. And they bring him the curse when they get him to Pilate's hall. Set it down on his head and pierce his head till the pain runs down through his head and his scalp and the back of his neck. Thorns and thistles. Will it bring him forth? And how did he do it? For the joy that was set before him. That joy wasn't a new Mars or a new Pluto. It was you. You find it hard being a Christian? Put Jesus in front of you. You find it hard living right? You find it hard doing the Word? Do it for the joy that is set before you. Christ.
Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, from that time till now, man has labored, sweated, been stressed, saint and sinner alike, struggled to live. The only people who don't struggle are those who are over here in the graveyard. So you compare the two and see which one you'd rather be. If I got to struggle to be alive, or the other option is be dead, I think I'll choose struggling. He never intended for a preacher to have it made. No troubles, no problems. Never intended for a Christian to sail on life's solemn main and have no difficulty. You're going to labor for every bite spiritually that you feed on. The Son of Man is among us, and we're not feeding on the failing words of a man. We're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. I'll struggle to bring you every sermon I bring you. And you'll struggle to sit there and be able to open your heart and receive it and feed on it and live it once you walk out the doors. But will you struggle to get mad? When you're in a big hurry and you're coming down Milligan Highway, and one of them 313,834 blue-haired old women that live on that road over there gets in front of you, and she decided to take her car out for a walk, and you're going to be late. You're going to be... Will you find it so hard to get upset and angry? Come on now, saints. Put your wings back. Why? This dust, it correlates with thistles. It correlates with explosive hedges and thorns. And they do very well. Don't stand there and look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Which does your body grow better, love or anger? Well, glory. Which does your body grow best, pouting or shouting? Praise the Lord. You're not answering me, but you're as guilty as a hound dog in a hen house. You don't have to. You might as well just admit it, friends. This is why this older brother needs changed. Thorns and thistles and all of that constantly comes up and tries to choke out the word. If Satan can't stop the preachers from preaching it, he'll try to fill your mind and your life with so many activities, doing this and doing... You don't have time to just think about the word and let the word be growing in your life and be fertilized by the Holy Ghost. Them weeds and thorns and thistles just choke it out. But my God's still in control. And he's going to have a bride, because he took the thorns and he sweated blood to make sure it was reversed. Oh, thank the Lord. Hallelujah. We've got a little sister that wants to be baptized tonight. If you'll come and prepare for that, Brother Wes. Let's just bow our heads if you would. I want to just ask you tonight to be honest before the Lord. And I'm not here to shame you or embarrass you or humiliate you or nothing like that. But just if you acknowledge it, Lord, what he said tonight was the truth. These old thorns and thistles in my flesh, whether it's lust or temper or aggravation or whatever it is, every one of us deal with them old thistles, them old thorns. Lord, help me. Would you just raise your hand to God? Lord, help me. Help me to bring this older brother subject to the word. Look, friends, he'll never, never be changed until redemption enters its final stage for you.
when the body is changed. Will we deal with sickness and all kinds of stuff? Sure. I got a quote laying right here in front of me. The prophet said, if God heals you tonight, if you live long enough, you're going to get sick again. Well, that's a good promise, ain't it? You get sick, God heals you, and you got a promise you're going to get sick again. Well, just keep your faith believing. Then God can heal you again. And then you get sick again. And then you get healed again. Then you get sick again. Then you get healed again. The ultimate is God's going to win and heal you forever. Praise God. I may like to be remembered before the Lord. Heavenly Father, I have my thorny hands raised as well. My bramble thistle flesh. My greatest enemy that I have, Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word tonight, Father. I know it wasn't deep. I know it wasn't great mysteries that we just all oohed and awed about. But it's right where we live, Lord. I pray tonight, God, you would help us. Our bodies are still under that curse. That's why we deal with sickness and disease and age and aches and pains. And this is why the thorns and thistles can grow so easily and so readily and multiply and explode. Even in a soul that's converted, they still have to war against this old brother. But the promise of redemption is, son, everything that I have is yours. You're going to be redeemed. And this younger brother, my soul, is going to take this older brother, my body, into the final stage of redemption. Praise God. Lord, help us tonight, I pray. Forgive us of our sticky ways. Forgive us of our brambled natures. Forgive us of our thorny attitudes, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus. May these bodies come subject to the Word. It's a sign that we're going heavenward when these bodies are subject. That's what we do when we hoe. We pick out a spot and we say we want to plant a garden there. We go out there and till it and do whatever more. We look out there and we had everything we thought killed. Here's Johnson grass, here's Bermuda grass. Well, we didn't plant that. Where in the world did that come from? But what do? We go out there and bring it subject with the old hoe. And we cut it out. But it don't get rid of it, don't annihilate it. We go out 2-3 days and there's another sprig. So what do? We go back to church and sit under a God-called ministry. He takes that old gooseneck hoe, chops that thing out. Sometimes even hits us in the head with a hoe. Because we need it, Lord. But what are we doing? We're bringing that garden subject. Because we got thoughts in our mind of what we want to grow. That's the way we are with children as children of God. We want to be fruitful, bountiful Christians. So we come to church, we pray, we read our Bibles, we listen to tapes. We allow that to chop out them weeds out of our lives. We can be bountiful, fruitful Christians. Praise God. We're living in the 100-fold time, Lord of the rapture. Help us, Lord Jesus. Oh, we worship you tonight, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Can we just raise our hands? Go ahead and take that old bramble hand. Lift it up in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, Brother Wes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know that song? You're awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father.
The power of the Holy Ghost was so strong when I was talking to this little girl that it just shook me to know that she was so sincere. You know, one day a man of God's going to walk down into this water to baptize the very last one. The thought of that, if I was out there tonight and I wasn't right with God, the thought of that would really shake me.
Hallelujah.
Because one day it's going to be the very last one. For all we know, this little saint right here is the last one. If God's dealing with you, you need to get right with Him. This is the time. The time is short. Little sister Tirza, based upon your profession, what you told me you believed, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray for our sister now. Lord. Father, she's been baptized in water. Now I ask you, Lord,
yes, Lord,
to let your spirit fill her. She professed to me that she wanted to be guided by your spirit, that she wanted your life to live through her. And now, Lord, we're believing with her. As I lay hands on her, I ask you to give her the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Fulfill the promise of your word, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, little sister. You go with the Lord now. God bless you. God bless you.
Again, get close. you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Midnight in the middle of the day. It looked bad and it looked gloomy and it looked dark. But our sovereign God was still in control. You see, there's no way that the devil could actually know what was taking place on Calvary. For if he did, he would have never helped carry it out. If he'd know that in that blood of the Lord Jesus would have absolutely remitted your sins and so annihilated them that God would never ever remember you being a sinner, he would have had band-aids all over that body of Jesus. He'd have never let one drop shed, never let one drop come out, but God hid the mystery of the work in such humility. The sun was hot, an angry mob gathered by the gray stone building. As a man dressed in velvet with a curly black beard stepped out on his balcony. Nervously washing his hands to rid him of the blood he would never wash away. His wrinkled brow showed the worried lines I hear a pilot say. This man called Jesus, healer from the shores of Galilee. Glory! I command you to ask me to let him go free. Don't make me take this man's blood to the grave with me. Nervously washing his hands to rid him of the blood. I heard time.
cross. Let's not leave the Lamb coming out of the tomb. But let's bring him on down to our day when the Lamb stood in Jeffersonville and tore open the seals off the book. Hallelujah. It was not Brother Branham that brought those seals. It was not a church age messenger. He said the Lamb spoke those seals. The Lamb is those seals, for the whole Word of God is Christ. It released your identity. Praise be to God. Come on, older brother, let's go. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going back to the Garden of Eden. We're going to eat the fruits of the paradise of God. Amen. Then sings my soul. Sing it just as we go. How great thou art. How sovereign, how wonderful, how great our God you are. Then sings my soul. Thank you for your word tonight. Oh Lord, one day this will be so real. We'll move out of this dimension. Our older brother will be changed. Lord, we long for the day. If there's anything lacking in our lives, help us, Father, that we can be ready for that great time. Go with us now. Bring us back if it be pleasing to you in the morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And the saints said,
amen.
I'm so glad I've crossed over the line. I'm so glad I've crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I've crossed. Oh, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. So glad I crossed over the line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. I was headed in the wrong direction, my soul dark as night. Satan was standing between my soul and the light. Jesus.
Jesus gave me light to shine when He saved this soul of mine. I'm glad I crossed over in time. Oh, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. Oh, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so